Did you just say Portuguese-speaking Brazilian baby assassins?
Yes. Yes, that was one of their ideas.
Just checking.
Yeah, that's... What the fuck? Dude, this motherfucker was nuts.
God, where is this going? Oh my God. We're going to get a slew of Brazilian baby assassins.
I kept thinking, like, is this one of the, like, the, is this going to be the next edition of Assassin's Creed? Brazilian Assassin.
Hello, and welcome to the fancy new recap funtime horror show recap show. I really like the way that sounds.
It has a ring to it.
It does.
It's not hard to remember at all.
No, it's actually relatively easy. Listen, bro, if you're going to start a cult, you got to do it right, dude.
Yeah.
But we just got done listening to Lucas tell us a story that he has constructed for us today entitled The Children of Thunder, named after the cult of the same name, Children of Thunder. How you feeling about it?
It's funny, we discovered, my son and I discovered this on accident. We were literally sitting there one Saturday, and he was like, are there any new religions in the world? And I was like, I don't know, let's look on the internet. And I was like, I typed in world's newest religion, right? And then this list of religions popped up on Wikipedia. So we kept scrolling through, and we were like looking for religions that we'd never heard of. And then we get down to like, let's see if there's anything from this century. So all we were doing at was looking at a year, and I see year 2000, and I pan over and it says Children of Thunder. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. Click on it, start reading this story and go, oh my gosh, we have to cover it.
Well, you know, like, you know me personally, and I'm like absolutely fascinated by religion in general. You know, I've done some extensive research in Christianity. I myself, much like the characters in this story, actually belonged to the Mormon church for like a few years and got to experience that. I grew up Catholic. I've been to Episcopalian, attended Lutheran, Southern Baptist, regular Baptist, sideways Baptist.
Missionary Baptist.
I've gotten a chance to do everything. And in school in Tennessee, when I was going to school, one of the first classes that I took that intrigued me was a class on world religion. So I got to do like an in-depth dive into like the Islamic faith and Hinduism, and that's where I found Buddhism, and then of course Judaism. And but there's like a really super soft spot in my heart for cults. I just absolutely love them. It's just like when your aunt did, you know, when Maria did Jamestown.
Yeah, the Children of God, I think it was.
Now I almost feel like whenever we release our archive, maybe we should release Jamestown right after this.
Ooh, that's a good idea. It'll go along with the cult theme.
We could have like a back-to-back cult.
Because there was always supposed to be a cult theme, like a series of cult episodes anyway.
There was. Matter of fact, maybe we should name this one Cults, Children of Thunder.
Ooh, done. You guys are here for the creative process. You get a front row seat.
Yeah, man. That's what this episode, this recap is all about, man. Like peeking behind that curtain. You know what I mean?
Behind the sacred veil.
Peering through the thick weed smoke, and there's literally no weed smoke.
There's always weed smoke in my heart.
So, man, I know you had like a bunch of other notes on your story, and there was something about you ending that last sentence about the bodies washing up on the shore that I just had to stop right there. And I was like, oh my God, that's like the perfect ending. Like, I like
very dramatic
an ending. Where sometimes the bad guys win. And even though the bad guys got caught by the police, I feel like the last vision of the bodies washing up onto the shore was like the final kick in the nuts that we should have just ended the show on. So thank you for going along with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But with that said, I know you have like a lot of notes. So if you want to jump into those and kind of share the rest of the story that you had in mind now, feel free to take the mic.
Absolutely. Thank you. So a few things, the Children of Thunder was really just three people. It was Don Godman and the two Hesner brothers. Now there was a fourth member, and she was a self-proclaimed good witch. So she had a relationship with Don Don Godman, and she had even like trained her in some like magic rituals and things of that nature, which I find completely confusing because Mormonism and witchery don't seem to be like things that can coincide, but these people all seem to have this strange, like, they had, even in his principles of magic or whatever it was called, there were all these contradictory ideas, like, I'm perfect, but then he also mentioned his Lord and Savior Jesus. So I feel like they had this strange duality in their ideology where they were both trying to sound like a Christian offshoot, but also some strange New Age Buddhist thing.
I think it was like a good sales point, though. Like, you're taking something like Christianity that populace is highly familiar with. And yeah, I think it's like maybe a little easier to get people to buy in because they're like, you know, I don't know. It's maybe like buying a Ford Fusion and then trading it in for a Focus.
It's very similar.
I have no idea. You're like, well, I know Ford's a good car, but I've never owned a Focus before, so I'll try it.
Well, someone like a Mormon or someone in coming from a religious Abrahamic sect is already kind of conditioned to take the word of God on authority and be willing to do all kinds of nutty shit for it. So I feel like picking an offshoot of Mormonism to kind of take and fashion in his own image is a good way of – he has people who are already predisposed to be like blindly obedient. So I think it's a great tactic.
Well, if I can add something before you finish your story, I have to like testify that being part of like the Mormon community for, you know, I was probably like 2 years or so. I have to say that of all the churches that I've been to, Mormons get like a really bad rap. And in reality, they're literally the nicest group of people that I've ever met in my entire life. And like their sense of like community and family is second to none. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go so in depth with like, I mean, we used to have like family game night, right? Where like literally all the electronics would get turned off, the TV's off, there's no cell phones. You basically just sit down with the family and you do board games or you share talents with each other. Like some people would have like a talent show night just amongst their families. They were also like really big into like being prepared. They talked a lot about, you know, I don't know if it's so much like the rapture or whatever, but they were very big in preparedness, like storing up water and canned goods and stuff in the event of like an emergency, you know, a hurricane coming through or something like that. And so it's just a... It was just a really, really cool group of people. And even at one of our lowest points, they showed up 1 year with presents for the kids. They gave us a food voucher. They had like their own, like they had like their own grocery store that was like open just to needy members of the church. Mm-hmm. And they gave us like vouchers. We went in there and got groceries and stuff. And in return for those vouchers, my ex-wife and I, we had to go and volunteer to make peanut butter for 8 hours one time. And that's basically what paid for our groceries for that week.
It's kind of fun.
So yeah, I mean, it was pretty interesting.
Making peanut butter.
But with that said, I can also see how it's like really easy to like make fun of these people too, you know, because they, like I said, they get a bad rap, but you know what, Mormons, you're okay in my book.
Well, I think you also touched on this. Like, I think that there's a paradox here because you have, for instance, look at Muslims. They get a bad rap too, but most Muslims are very nice people. They're very kind and generous and
look. Yes, but that's how they trick you.
So I think what you're touching on is that there is a separation from the religion and the person practicing it. I think what happens is, it's just like there's a car and there's Ford and there's Chevy and there's GMC. Like, I think everyone gets caught up on their brand, not realizing everything has an engine that gets you from point A to point B. So I think when we see those truer moments of more object humanity where you're doing things, higher things for people, like you're not considering yourself and you're being charitable. I think those are truer to real spirituality. And then the weeds of like, well, this person in this book said XYZ, then you get caught up in the weeds of someone's particular brand, which doesn't really matter so much.
It's weird. I just heard, there's this, Buddhist podcast that I listen to. I'll give them a shout out because he's really, really awesome. And it literally is like, If our show is like completely right filled, this one's like way left filled. It's completely different. So don't tune in thinking that you're getting a fun time horror show experience. But if you're ever interested in learning more about Buddhism, and not as so much a religion, but as just the philosophy of it. Check out the podcast called Secular Buddhism with the host Noah Rochetta. He has a lot of really, really good insights, and he approaches it from a completely secular view. There's no religious undertones whatsoever in his show. It's literally, he starts every show off saying, don't use the things in Buddhism to become a Buddhist. Use them to become a better whatever you are. So with that said, Lucas, what you got?
So let's talk a little bit more about this fourth member. Her name was Deborah McClanahan. She was involved with them. She believed that Glenn Taylor, I keep on calling him Glenn Taylor. His first name was Glenn. His middle name was Taylor. He went by Taylor. She also believed that he was a prophet of God, that he had this divine mission and message. But she was not involved on the murder plot. So Glenn, the day of or the day before, reaches out to her and says, I need you to go buy 4 tickets to the 8 p.m. showing of X-Men. And I also need you, while you're there, to buy concessions and food like you're buying for 4 people. And I need you to keep the receipts and everything, because he was trying to establish an alibi. She also held on to guns for them. Glenn had her hold on to the gun that they used to shoot Jenny Villarin, which was Selena Bishop's mother and her Jenny Villarin's boyfriend. None of this was planned out very well. He used a gun registered to his brother and then took it to Deborah to have her hide in a safe along with his drugs that he was also selling. Initially, when questioned by police, she denies it and tries to stick to the story, but under questioning, she kind of caves and pretty much admits, like, well, I felt like loyalty to, you know, Glenn, and I was trying to play my part. Let's see what else I have here. Oh, the trial. So, Dawn cooperated to testify, and she agreed to testify against both brothers. And in exchange for her testimony, she was not sentenced to the death penalty. She was given, I believe it was 35 years to life. Initially, Glenn tried to protect the other two and was like, no, they're innocent. It was all me. But evidence kind of pointed that he had help and he was unable to take the fall for them. Some of the research I was doing suggests that it wasn't that he cared that much about him. It's that his persona was always to be the guy, the leader. And so it's believed that he was trying to position himself as a martyr for his followers. So again, it's him posturing himself as this prophet of God, right? So the brothers were convicted and sentenced to death. Justin attempted suicide once by jamming pins in his eyes. But he was unable to accomplish it. He didn't die, and he ended up blind. He attempted again and was successful. So currently the only living...
Did you say he tried to kill himself by putting pins in his eyes?
Jamming, like, I guess, writing pins.
Oh, like writing pins. Yeah. Oh, when you said pins, I was thinking of, like, push little pins. Needles. And I'm like, yeah, probably not going to do it. It's just going to hurt.
Yeah, he tried to put writing pins in his eyes, and all that happened was he went blind. He attempted again and was successful. I think it was in 2013, and he actually managed to kill himself that time.
Wow.
And so Glenn is the only current living brother. His brother Justin's dead. Justin was viewed as, and in his trial, they tried to paint him as a gentle, kind soul who was really just under the spell of his brother. But, you know, he did still carry out all those acts. It was said that during the cleanup, when they were dismembering the bodies and cleaning up, that Glenn had his brother Justin do the majority of the work, and he said that he had more important things to do, like go meditate and listen for spirit. He referred to whatever divine being he believed in as spirit.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, sort of.
You got the Holy Spirit, and, you know.
Yeah, and there's a book out there on it called Unholy Sacrifice, and People has an article out on it. There's a few episodes, documentaries out, so there might be details I missed, but this is by and large the whole of it. It was really, I guess, it's hard to tell where the issue lies. He was not truly mentally ill as far as I saw. He, so that's another part that I didn't get to mention. They used to do drugs before he started pursuing this prophet of God thing. He would do drugs with one of his cousins and they would talk about like the meaning of life and shit. Well, his cousin had mental problems and was in and out of facilities, like mental facilities. So he actually, there's documentation of him. His cousin said that he was like doing, like flipping out and acting wild and going, is that how it looks in prison? Is that how people act in there? Trying to get cues on how to behave. Well, when Glenn began to plan his murder plot for money, he realized not only did he need money to accomplish his goals of taking over the Mormon church, he also needed time. So he started seeing a psychiatrist and faked bipolar to get disability. So I don't know if we can really say that it was the mania, like, you know, people with schizophrenia and bipolar have these grandiose, you know, ideas or God complexes or like, I think God is talking to me, right? So we don't know if he was truly delusional or just a complete sociopath who wanted his own power in every situation.
You know, you never ask anybody that's, say, working at McDonald's, hey, what are you saving up money for? To begin my cult. Right. Yeah.
He would have taken him a lot longer to save up money for a cult than working at McDonald's.
That's true. Speaking of the master plan, Portuguese-speaking Brazilian baby assassins?
That is very creative.
That is really creative.
I don't know that it would have worked well.
I don't think I could have came up with that sitting down and pondering about it. The most ridiculous thing I could come up with all afternoon.
It's like he had no concept of like the logistics of that. Like, even if he had like... So would he fly out to Brazil, meet a family, be like, I'm here to adopt some kids and take them back to America? And
we all know kids these days, you can't get them to do anything.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he wanted Brazilians. Maybe he figured Latin Americans would be more like willing to work for food.
That's racist.
I'm Latin American.
Are you?
I mean, I'm brown and my name's Garza.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
You probably get a pass.
You get a pass. Yeah, I can say it.
Why do you hate Mexicans, Lucas?
Because their food's so good.
Yeah. What else you got, dude?
I think that pretty well sums it up. I just have this handy dandy little Jerry Springer style outro I wrote. If you want to hear it.
Yeah, cool. I mean, we're pretty much at the end of where I would like these recap shows to be. So give us what you got.
Who are we?
I don't know. Oh, sorry. Go.
Who are we? What are we doing here? Where are we going? These are questions humankind has been asking for millennia. We see its expression, the search for that larger thing many of us perceive across human history. From the earliest known forms of religion, Zoroastrianism, to the modern offshoots of Abrahamic religions we now see, people and our inclinations, our leanings, have largely remained unchanged. Who are we? Where did this all come from? Well, there are a lot of good ideas, but let's admit it, no honest person can really say they know. And that's okay. No one has to know for sure. Spirituality exists for us to make sense of the world, not for the world to make sense through your chosen brand. I can't tell you what the universe, the great spirit, or God is. I can tell you what it's not. It's not a person. God is not a man or a woman. God is not only attainable through one person's narrow cultural view. It's likely that we are just one of many expressions of what this force is. Whatever you choose to believe, if your path calls you to murder innocent people and steal from them, I can assure you that is not God. Protect that spiritual booty, y'all.